Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Yad Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of the Tez Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing the narrative of Sefer Iyev, which the Gemara segued from a discussion with the Machlekes regarding what does the Pasuk mean in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Larav al Pnei Adama, when there were banos yuldu lahem, when there were daughters that were being born. What does Larav mean? Was that a good thing or a not good thing? Was it that Raviya Bala Olam, that there was fertility coming to the world, or was it Mariva Bala Olam, that there was disputes coming to the world? So the Gemara said, actually, that's a Machlekes Tanayim in regards to when Avram, the Hashem Berechs Avram Bakaylav, that Avram was blessed with everything, that we have one time that says that he did have a daughter, and we have one half that says that he didn't have a daughter. So that the Gemara continues now with different drushes regarding this, that Avram was blessed with Bakal, which were, there were many different opinions brought in that Brisa. What does it mean he was blessed with everything? Regarding that, we find this theme throughout by the Avos, and this is what we say in benching in Bamarim, that Hashem shebenses like he did the Avos, Bakal mikol kol. So we see that Avram had that bracha, and so too did the other Avos. As the Gemara brings Tarabon on the Brisa, Shloisha Hitim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'il Mazeh, there were three individuals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a taste in this world, as we continue on top of Yudzayin and Aleph, Me'ein HaOlam Haba, from something that was from a miniature, a sampling of what is going to be in the world to come. And Elohim, they are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram, the Chesed, Be'Bakol, Hashem blessed him, as we brought the Pasuk in Bereishis Chabdal, Bashem Be'Echis Avram Bakol, he was blessed with everything. Koil is the ultimate everything, which is only in the world to come. In this world, we don't have everything. They tasted that. Yitzchak dechseb be'mikol. But Yitzchak, we find the same thing when he told Esav, and he was like, who came and brought me food, vo'echal mikol, that I ate from everything. He tasted the world to come. And Yaakov dechseb be'koil, and also by Yaakov, where he said to Esav also that, I, you know, take this gift I'm giving you, as the Pasuk says in Lamed Gimel, that b'chiyeshli koil, I have everything. In other words, I'm not lacking any good. That's not this world. That is a sampling of the world to come. That was what our three of us had that taste. Now, Taisus actually brings a question that why wasn't Eve mentioned? Because as we brought on top Tezvav Mabez, that actually it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eve to taste Me'in Olam Haba. So it says Taisus, Eve only had in that one area that of his growth in his field. But Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov had pleasure Me'ein Olam Haba from Kol V'Kol, as we see that they had Bakol Mikol Kol in everything that they had, and therefore only they are mentioned. So to Shleisha Leshol Behen Yitzhahara, there were three individuals that the evil inclination did not control them. Elohim, they are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Achsev Bu Bakol Mikol Kol. The Yitzhahara is a kapad, is a way of escaping from reality. They had everything. Everything is when you're totally alive and experiencing your life. The Yitzhar wants you to cop out and don't grow and don't experience and don't have everything. So therefore, these three who had Bakol Mikol Kol did not have, they were not ruled by the Yitzhar. Now, Taisus brings on this point too. It doesn't mean that the Yitzhar didn't have any power and persuasion on them at all, because then how would they have gotten reward? Rather, he brings like in the Gemara in Yumadav on the Chesma Beis that the Pasuk says, Ragli Chasid of Yishma Hashem watches over the feet of his righteous ones, where once a person has already passed through the majority of his years and hasn't sinned, he's not going to sin anymore. What that means to say is, like in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were pushing themselves so much to distance themselves from sin, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that point on helped them that the evil inclination should not rule over them, as the Gemara elsewhere says, that Elmol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezer Laha Yechala, we cannot fight the Yitzhar if not for the assistance of Hashem. He saw how much the others wanted it, then he didn't allow the Yitzhar to have any control over them. Now, but Yeshem, that those that say that Ab David, that also David, the Yitzhar didn't control him. The Chesavik says a passing in Tehillim, V'libi chal b'kirbi, that my heart is empty inside of me, where the heart is always a symbol of passion and desire for bad, where his Yitzhar was dead inside of him, the Yitzhar didn't have any control of him. Now, V'idach, but the other opinion that didn't mention David as from those that the Yitzhar had no shlita over, he interprets the pasuk v'libichal b'kirbi tsarihu dekomitker. He was actually recalling his pain. He was complaining about his heart and saying that inside he's dead because of all the tsaris that he went through, all the pain and travails he went through. But not that in regards to the evil inclination, but he himself, his emotion was dead because of all the pain that he'd gone through. That's why they didn't count David as one of those that the Yitzhar had no rule over. Tanaban, continuing on this theme. There were six individuals that the angel of death didn't have any control over them, and rather they died with what's called the kiss, which is through the mouth of the Divine Presence. Ve'elohen, they are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov is Dechseb, B'hu, Bakom, Mikol, Kol, like we said, because regarding them, as the Pasuk brings, that they had in everything, from everything, everything, which means to say that they weren't lacking any dignity. Now, since we find this dignity by Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the Chesibu, it says regarding them, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Pi Hashem, that they passed away through, so to speak, the mouth of Hashem. Now, if Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam died through this way, if the others would have died through the angel of death, it would have came out that they were missing something from dignity, from covet, from this world, because they would have had something lower than that. And since they had everything, it must be that they also had the highest level, which was through Mises Neshika. Now the Gemara asks, but while Miriam like Sivba al-Pi Hashem, by Moshe Aaron it says, but by Miriam it doesn't say that she passed away by the mouth of Hashem. So how can we say she's one of those six? So Amar Balaz, this is Miriam Nami ben Neshika Mason. Now Miriam also passed away through the kiss. The Asi Sham Shami Moshe, because we have Exeir Shav, where it says the same word by Moshe, so too it says that by Miriam, that she passed away the same like Moshe. So why doesn't it say by her explicitly, like by Moshe and Aaron, that she passed away through the kiss of Hashem? It should not have double alignment, because it's inappropriate to say that regarding a woman, that by Miriam, that's how it was said, and therefore it doesn't say it explicitly, but she also passed away, Al Pi Hashem. Tarabon Linda Braisa. Shiva leshold behen rima b'seleya. There were seven individuals that worm and maggots and decay doesn't have any control over them. Ve'elohen, they are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They didn't decompose. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And the seventh one is Ubinyamin ben Yaakov. Binyamin, this 12th Shevet, the son of Yaakov Avinu. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, dechseb hu bakol mikol kol, because it says that term bakol mikol kol. Now Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, dechseb hu al pi Hashem, which we said al pi Hashem applies to both to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov also. Now, since they died through al pi Hashchina, through the mouth of the Divine Presence, so it's not befitting someone that dies through the kiss of the Divine Presence to have rima, to have worms and maggots take control of their body. Now, the reason for that is because actually the decomposition only comes from this bitter drop, which drops from the knife of the angel of death. As the Gemara Nabi Dezar Dav Chofim Abbez explains, that from that drop, the person dies, from that it decomposes, from that his face loses all color. So regarding these six, that they didn't die through the angel of death, so that then they don't get the decomposition, they don't have rima v'seleya. And the seventh one, Binyamin bin Yaakov, is because the chesiv, like it says, the passing in Devarim. It says, to Binyamin he said, Yidid Hashem, the beloved of Hashem, Yishkoin lovetach alav. He will rest with confidence on him. So the way it's interpreted is that Binyamin will rest with confidence because he's relying on his good relationship with the Divine Presence, meaning he rests levetach, that he doesn't have to worry about decomposing. Yeshem af David. Some say that also David, because the Chassidus says the pasuk in Tehillim that David said af besara yishkan levetach, that even my flesh will rest with confidence, meaning that even his flesh will not decompose. Ve'idach, but the other one that didn't mention David, ahu rachem hu dekabayi. That was just he was actually beseeching mercy. He was requesting that, but it wasn't saying that rima v'seleya doesn't rule over his body. Tarabon lerna b'raisa. Arba mesu be'et yishal nachash. There were four individuals that passed away only from the counsel of the snake. In other words, these four people were not fitting to have died. Rather, because of the decree of death which was imposed upon all the descendants of Adam Arishan, because of the counsel of the nachash, of the snake, who had them eat from the Eitz Hadas, so that's the only reason why they died, but they didn't die because of their own sins. Ve'elohen, and they are Binyamin bin Yaakov, who we just mentioned before, the Amram Avi Moshe, Amram the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yisha Avi David, Yisha the father of David, the Chilav ben David and Chilav the son of David, where they weren't necessarily Moshe Rabbeinu and others, but those who become great by default have to have some error that they're going to make. These four individuals didn't have any sins that was going to cause them to die. Now says the Gemara, Bukulu Gemara. They're all from a tradition. Levar me Yisha Avi David, except for the one of them that was Yisha, the father of David, Demefarish Bekra, because the Pasuk explicitly mentions this idea. Because the Pasuk in Shmuel Bey says, Vesamasa, who is the individual's name, Sam Avshalom. Avshalom placed him, Tachas Yoiv al Hatzava. In place, he put him instead of Yoiv on the army. Now, it says, so who's this Vamasa? Vamasa was Ben Ish, who is the son of a man. Ushma Yisra Se'eli. And who is this man? His name is Yisra Se'eli. And who was he? Asherbal Avigal, who he had relations with Avigail, who was Bas Nachash, as Avigail was the daughter of Nachash, who was Achay Tzruya Em Yayib, the sister of Tzruya, who was the mother of Yayib. So it's talking about all the family relations over there. Now the question, however, is, this Avigail, Chibas Nachashi, was she the daughter of Nachash? V'haloi Bas Yishai, she was the daughter of Yishai. Because the Chsib, like the Pasuk in Dibur Yomim Aleph, talks about the chronology over there. It says Vach Yisehem, and that their sister, and the pasuk there is talking about the children of Yishai. So talking about the children of Yishai, and their sister was Tzruya v'Avigail. So we see that Avigail is daughter of Yishai, not the daughter of Nachash. Ella, rather, it's saying this idea. Bas mi shemeis be'et yishal Nachash. The reason why her father was called Nachash, because he only passed away from the counsel of the snake because of the primordial the sin of the Eitz Hadas. That's why he passed away, but not because of any of his own sins. Hanu l'chashutfim, which I'll return to you, the first parak himself, the Baba Basra parak hashutfim, with that we begin the second parak, and Baba Basra parak lo yachper, which continues on a related discussion of the previous daf, the previous parak regarding this, what's called as hilchas shutfin, which is the relationship of neighbors, where in the first parak we spoke about, okay, where neighbors want to divide, what's the responsibilities in the same city, in the same courtyard. Now it moves on to a related discussion regarding when there's two neighbors, what can you do in your property if it's going to cause damage possibly to the other person's property. So with that, the Mishnah begins. Layachper adam bar. A person is not allowed to dig a pit, which there's going to be these three different terms called bar, sheach, ma'ar, which mentioned many times in Shas. Shkamar baba kama and daf nun beis explains what these three things are, where a bar is a round pit. So a person is not allowed to dig a pit, samuch lo bar shel chaver, near his friend, near his neighbor's pit, and v'lei sheach, neither is allowed to dig a sheach, which is narrow and long. V'lei ma'ara, neither can he dig a cave, meaning to say that it's a pit, but that it's covered with a cover. V'lei amasamayim, neither is allowed to dig an irrigation canal. V'lei nevrechas kaivs, and neither the launderer's pool, which is that they would dig a square pit, which was an ama or more deep. And the rainwater would gather in there, and they would have that water sit there so they could use it to launder their garments. Now, there were actually two different pools. One was the one that they would soak the garments for a day or two in the excrement of dogs. And that was called Mechamtsin, as Gemara will explain this. And another one was the one that they would scrub and rub in that one. That was called Nedanyan. So you can't make any of these launderer's pools near your friend's pit. Elam kein hirchak mikaisel chaver shleshet tvachem. Unless if you distance from your friend's wall, three tfachim. Now the reason for that is because the digging that you're doing near his pit will weaken the walls of his pit and will make them come apart. So therefore, although you're in your property, you have to distance three tfachim from his wall. And v'sad besid. Moreover, you also have to go ahead and plaster it with lime, the walls of that you're digging, so that keeps it, protects it, that it doesn't cause any more damage to the neighbor's property. Continues the Mishnah. Umachikim es hagefes. Another halach is that a person has to distance gefes, which is the refuse of olives after they were pressed in the olive press, and ves hazevel and manure, which the fertilizer from animal dung, ves hamelech and salt, ves hasid and lime, ves hasloim, which are these flint rocks, which are these rocks which the people produce fire from. Now the reason for all these things are because they all produce heat, which they're all detrimental to a wall. So a person, if he has this in his property, he has to distance them from his friend's wall, three tfachim. Now, the type of wall that we're discussing over here is a wall made out of bricks out of clay, which is built on the ground, and not talking about, as in the previous halacha, which told about near the neighbor's pit. Here we're talking about near his neighbor's wall. Here a wall is going to come apart from the heat of these items. So you have to distance your items three tfachim from his wall. Oy sod besid. Or if he plasters it with lime, whereas Tosafot points out the reason by, in contrast to the ratio which said you have to do both distance and plaster with lime, and here it's saying or plaster with lime, is because these things are not so detrimental that just putting on lime won't help. If you put on lime, that will protect these elements from harming the wall. That itself would also help instead of distancing the three tfachim, these manure and the salt and the lime from damaging the person's wall. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Marchikin es hazroim. A person has to distance seeds, which are harmful for a wall, as the Gemara will explain, Vesamachresha and plowing, which also it brings up the ground and softens the foundation of that person's wall and is going to make it fall. Vesmiraglayim and urine, which also dissolves the bricks, which are made out of dried clay, which urine would it would make that come apart. So these elements have to be distanced minakoisel shleisha tvachim from the person's wall, three tvachim. Also, says the Mishnah, marchikin eserichayim. The person has to distance his mill, which grinds grain and other things which are harmful for the wall because it shakes the ground every time he turns the mill with, and as it bangs. So you have to distance the mill shleisha, three tvachim min ha-shechev, meaning the mill has to be distanced from that guy's wall, from the shechev, which is the lower part of the mill, which shehin arbam and arechev, which has to be four tvachim from the rechev to the wall, which the rechev is the upper part of the mill, which, and that's why I call it from the word rechev, because it's reicheves, it lays on top of the bottom, which is shechev, means to shachev, that means it's lying there on the bottom, which is a tefach shorter than the bottom part, so the bottom part has to be three tvachim away from the wall, which is four tvachim from the upper part of the mill. So too ves hatanur. A tanur is a type of an oven in Talmudic times, which was an earthenware vessel, which would be made, fired up in a kiln like other pots. Now the opening of the oven was on the top. Now when a person would make their tanur oven on the ground, so they would first make some type of a structure made out of clay and out of bricks, which would be some type of a base, and they would put the oven, the tanur oven, on top of that. And the reason why they did it was that it shouldn't cool off the bottom part of the oven from the ground, which is cool. So they would make this structure on a slant, where it was wider on the bottom and more narrow as it went upwards towards the dimensions of the tanner. Now the bottom part is called kalya, which is, means where it ends, and the upper part, which is a different word of end, is called safa. So in other words, the edge of the kalya, which is the upper edge. Now since the heat of the oven is detrimental to the wall that it's near, so you have to distance it shleisha min ha-kalya, three tvachim from the kalya, which is the lower part, which is the wider part, which is four tvachim from the upper edge of that part, which is a tefach shorter than the bottom part. Again, keeping that distance ultimately from the entirety of the oven of three tvachim from the other person's wall because of the harm that it's going to cause to the wall because of the heat. So the Gemara continues on Beis and asks a question on the terminology of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was pasach bebar. It opened up with talking about that distancing your pit that you're building from three tvachim from your friend's pit, from talking about his bar. Then umesayim b'kaisel, but then it concludes talking about his wall, because it says elam kein hirchik mikaisler, unless if you're going to distance from his wall three tvachim. Now, but that's not what it should have said. It should have been listening. It should have said elam kein hirchik mi bayri shel chaver gemat tvachim, unless if it distances from his pit, from the pit of his friend three tvachim, because if we're talking about his wall, a wall is generally something that's built on top of the ground. A pit is something here below ground. It shouldn't have said that. It was talking about you're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to dig a pit next to your friend's pit. That's what it said. And then it says, unless, if what? You distance three tvachim from what? From his pit. Why does it say from his wall? So I'm a baya, and Vitam, but some says Rabbi Huda. No, it means mikaisel bay rishaninu. What it was teaching us was that when it says the wall, it means the wall of his pit, because that's also called a wall. A wall doesn't mean only something that's above ground. It means the wall of the pit. It's yes, you have to be distanced three tvachim from the pit, and that's what we're saying, from the wall of his pit. Now, so then the Gemara asks, but valisti, but let the words in the Mishnah be, elam kein hirchik mi bari shel chaver gimot tvachim. It should have said that unless you be distanced from the pit of your friend three tvachim. Now, as Rashi points out, what the Gemara is asking is, and then I would have known that it means three tvachim from the wall of your friend's pit. Because if he would think it means to say from the cavity of his friend's pit, well then that's not actually distancing where this person who's making the second pit going to be in his area further away from his friend. Actually, sometimes if he's going to be three tefachim away from the pit of the well, it's actually going to be in his friend's property, because generally people themselves distance three tefachim from their own property wall. They don't make it right next to the wall because they realize it can be harmful from the edge of their property where it's right next to the other person's property. So if he's distancing three tefachim and you're telling me that the guy who's making now on his property has to be three tefachim from the cavity of that guy's pit. So he's actually going to be the coming into his friend's property to make it like that. So, and therefore, Rashi explains the Gemara's question. Obviously, if we're talking about distancing from the friend's bar, which is the better terminology, because that's what the words of the Mishnah opened up with, I would know it means Kaisel Shel Chaveroi, meaning the wall of the pit. So why does it say Bekaisel? It should have said Mi Bairi Shel Chaveroi. So the Gemara says, you're right, but Hokamash Malon, this that the Mishnah is telling us when it uses the words from Mikaisla Shechavere, that we're telling you it means to say from the wall of his pit, it's coming to teach us the Kaisel Bar Shlosh Tvachim. It's coming to tell us, incidentally, a halacha, that the wall of a pit is three Tvachim, because essentially, really, a pit doesn't have any walls. It does. And the ground around it is the wall. But how large is the wall? So, and that is what it's teaching us, that the wall of the first person's pit fills up a distance, an area of three Tvachim, meaning because he also had to distance his pit from the boundaries by three Tvachim. Now, so how do we see that his wall is three Tvachim? Because we're saying that the one who wants to dig these cavities, a bar, sheach, ma'ara, we said that he has to distance himself from this guy's kaisel, a distance of three Tvachim. What does that mean? It means to say that this guy who's now digging the new pit has to go into his property an area of three tefachim. So obviously what that's telling us is that the three tefachim that he's going into his property is because that's all wall. It's teaching us that the width of the wall of the pit is three tefachim. That's because it's saying he has to be three tefachim away from the kaisel of Bar Shel Chaveri. Now, that guy himself, most likely, was himself three tefachim into his own property, because he's not going to be right next to it. And actually, as we'll elaborate on this in a moment, he's going to be also three tefachim away. So if you're saying you have to be three tefachim away, mikaisel shechaveh, which we're explaining means, and that's why I asked why do I have to use the word kaisel, to say that it means the wall of that other person's pit. So if I'm going three tefachim into my own property, so then what is that? I'm three tefachim away from what? From his wall of his pit? That means to say that if the cavity of his pit is three tefachim into his property, that means to say all that wall, meaning all that ground from the boundary of his property to his cavity of his pit, is all the kaisel of his bar. And that's how we see that the wall of a pit is three tefachim. Now, nafkamina says, Gemara, what's the halachic relevancy? Okay, so the wall is three tefachim. What does that teach us? Lemekech HaMemcher teaches the halacha regarding purchasing and sale. Because it's like learn the braisa. If someone tells his friend, I'm selling you in my property a pit and its walls, then the wall has to be three tefachim. In other words, what this guy is getting in your property is not just the cavity of the pit. You're giving him the walls of the pit too. That's three tefachim. How do we know that? From the halacha of our Mishnah, where it's calling the person's wall of his pit that you have to distance three tefachim. Obviously, that means to say that although his pit is three tefachim in his property, that his wall is from the boundary till his pit, which is three tefachim. Now, Rashi actually asks that where do we know that the wall of the first guy, that the measurement of the distance is from the boundary, is going to be three tefachim, but to the contrary. Actually, that other guy can make his pit right next to the boundary, because this is actually Machlekes Abaye Rava, as the rest of our daf is going to be speaking about, where we learn from Abaye that he says that the first guy who makes his pit does not have to be three tefachim into his property. So that Rashi explains that Abaye himself explains, as we'll say later on, he explains the halacha of our Mishnah, when both people, although there's a first guy and a second guy, they're actually both coming to build it at the same time. Where then the halacha is that both of them have to distance each one of them three tefachim, and still we're saying, we're calling one guy the second guy, but they're both doing it at the same time, therefore they both have to distance three tefachim. And when we say that the halacha is that you have to distance yourself from the other person's wall by three tefachim, which means that you're doing it in your property three tefachim, he's doing it in his property three tefachim. So what do you do when you're, if he's three tefachim into his property, how are you then three tefachim from his wall? Obviously, because his wall, which is at the edge of the boundary, is going all the way to where his cavity is, which is three tefachim in. We learn that the wall of a pit is three tefachim, which again teaches the halacha regarding mekach memka. Now the Gemara goes into that discussion now, which we just alluded to, this machlokes Abaye and Rava. Itmar was learned as follows. Habo lismoich. If someone that's coming to put his pit near the first one, betzad hametzer, at the edge of the boundary, right next to his neighbor's property, right at the edge of the boundary. Now, his friend doesn't have at this moment a pit. Because if he had a pit, that's halacha v'mishnah. If he has a pit, you can't make it three tefachim near the wall of his pit, which means you got to go three tefachim into your property. Let's say he doesn't have a pit. You want to make a pit right at the edge of the property. So it's machlekes. Abaye says you could now make it near right at the edge of the property. And Rava in the same, Rava says no, you cannot make it near the edge of the property. Explains the Gemara. Regarding a field that's made for pits, for example, what's called sada beis hashlochim, which is types of land that are irrigated. You don't get enough rainwater, where you constantly have to water it yourself. So it's made to build pits. So divrei hakol in the simach says the Gemara, everyone agrees you're not allowed to go out and make the pit at the edge of the field, because obviously he's going to end up making a pit, and then you cannot go ahead and create a damage where it's going to be detrimental, as we'll see. Everyone agrees later on if they're making it at the same time, then you can't go ahead and make your pit at the edge, because that's the halacha, essentially the halacha of our Mishnah. You got to distance three tefachim from where he's going to have his pit. So if it's a field that's made for pits, everyone agrees you can't make it near. The machlikis was regarding a field that's not made for pits. They usually rely on rainwater, and now one guy wants to make a pit. That Abaye says, so you can make it at the edge of the boundary. Why? It's not made for pits. I'm not causing him any damage. He's most likely not even going to make a pit. And still Rava says, no, you cannot make it at the edge of the boundary. Because the neighbor could tell you, just like you changed your mind and you dug a pit, even though most people here just rely on the rainwater. I also will change my mind and maybe dig a pit. And therefore, that's causing me damage. You're not allowed to build your pit at the edge. You got to go three tefachim in from the edge of the property. That's one version of the machlokes. Ikedami, those say a different version. Besad the shein asur lebayis regarding a pit that's not made for a field that's not made for pits. Everyone agrees that you could make near the edge, because what's the problem? People don't usually make pits over here. I don't have to be considerate for something that people don't usually do. Ki peligi, when did they disagree? Besad the haisur lebayis regarding a field that's made for pits. People usually make one, but right now no one made one, and this guy coming is the first one coming to make. Could he make it at the edge or not? Abaye Masaymach. Abaye said you could make it. You could make it near the edge, and he explains. Afil Rabban the Army, even according to Rabban, who they say, as we'll quote this machlokes later on the Mishnah of Chafeim at base. The Marchikin Eser Ilon Min Habor Eser Mechamish Amam. They hold that you have to distance if you're making a tree from a person's pit by a distance of 25 amam. What we learn from their opinion is that a person has to go within his own property. Although it's his property is all the way to the edge, he's not allowed to go towards the edge of the property if it's going to get within the area of 25 amas from his neighbor's pit. And the reason for that is because he's not allowed to harm his friend's property. And what we see from them is that we don't say that, no, you could plow in your property and I could plant in my property. We don't say that according to them. We say you got to be considerate for the other person's things. So says Abaye, I hold in this case you could go all the way to the edge. Even though if this guy would make a pit, it would be detrimental. Even according to Rabban, who would say, generally, you do have to be considered for the other person. Even though, you're making a tree and it's your property, it doesn't make a difference. 25 amas, you're not allowed to because it's going to be detrimental to that guy's pit. Says Abaye, Hasam hud be'idna dekonot te'isa labar. I'll tell you why. The other Rabban say you're not allowed to do that because at the moment that you're planting, that pit is already there. So therefore, if it's already there, then you got to be considerate. But here, when the guy's first digging his pit, that other person doesn't have a pit. So even the Rabbana would agree that you don't have to be considered in that situation. Now, Rava disagrees and he goes to the other extreme. He says, no, you're not allowed to make it to the edge of the property. And he says, even according to Rabbi Yisi, the dispute of the Rabbana in that Mishnah of Chafei regarding planting a tree in your property when the other person has a pit in his property, that says, where he said, look, this guy could dig a pit in his property, and this guy could plant a tree in his property. What? I can make it in my property, even though my roots are going to come and harm your pit. It's not my problem. I could do it in my property, and you do what's in your property. So says Rava that even according to his opinion, who he's less considerate in that stand, that he would agree that you're not allowed to make it all the way at the end, even if that guy doesn't have a pit. Why? Hanami lihasim, because when did Rabbi Yisrael say his opinion over there is to be in the dekanata, because when this guy's planting his tree, the roots that are going to take root and stretch out and go up to a distance of 25 amas, which is why the Pin Rabban said you can't make it within 25 amas, the reason why Rabbi Yisrael says you're allowed to is because when the guy is doing the action of planting, the roots are not there that are going to damage that person's pit. ultimately, the end, they will spread out and reach 25 amas and harm that person's, the walls of his pit. But that's not my responsibility. Right now, I'm not doing something that's damaging. I don't have to take responsibility for what, so to speak, the laws of nature will go and take the roots, go out. So that's why he holds you allowed to do that. Aval Hocha, but over here says Rava, in this case, Amar Lei, the neighbor could tell the one who's building the pit, Kol Moro Umor de Komachis, every single bang that you make with your spade digging your pit, which you're making at the edge of the boundary near my property, Komarpis Lola Roy, you're weakening, you're shaking and weakening my whole property because of the bangs that you're making. That is a direct damage towards my property. There says Rava, even though there's no pit in this other person's field, the fact that this guy's digging over there is going to be detrimental already to his property, even if, let's say, he would want to ultimately one day make a pit. Even Reb Yossi, who agrees that you're allowed to do something which indirectly will cause a damage, would agree that this would be forbidden because of the direct damage it's doing to the other person's property. So again, those are the two versions of the Machlik Zibai and Rava. Are they arguing only by Sada Hasuya Lasses Bairis or not? Those are the two different versions. And that is, Abai says you could be Saimich and Rava says you cannot. And that asks the Gemara. Starting off with the Halacha of our mission. It's not, we learned, the opening halacha of Mishnah was that a person is not allowed to dig a pit near his friend's pit. So ask the Gemara, it sounds like time of the kibbutz. It's because the other person already has a pit. It sounds like inferentially from our Mishnah that if the other person didn't have a pit, then you could make your pit that you're building right next to the person's property. You don't have to go three tefachim into your property. So ask the Gemara. Bishlem alhach lishn the armitz. This is very good according to that version that said, Besada she'ena, so laborious regarding a field that's not made for pits. We said divrei hakol saimach, that everyone agrees that you can make near the edge of the property because generally people don't usually make pits in these types of fields. So Masnitin said, then you can explain the halacha of our Mishnah is besada she'ena so laborious, that our Mishnah is talking about a field that's not made for pits. That's where it's problem only if he has a pit. But like we said inferentially, if there's no pit, then you can make it all the way at the edge because according to that version, both Abai and Rabbah agree that you could make it all the way at the edge. But according to the other version that you said, that besada she'ena sui labaritz peligi, that actually their machlokes was only in the case when it's a field which is not made for pits. Because as we said, if it's made for pits, everyone would agree that you cannot be saimach. The whole machlokes of Bayin Rab was only if it's not made for pits. So ask the Gemara, bishlem labayin niches, according to Abaye that said that when it's a sada she'ena sui labaritz, that then you could be saimach all the way to the edge. So nich, according to him, it makes sense why, if there's no pit, as we said from the inference of the Mishnah, you can make it all the way at the edge of the boundary. El Rava Kasha. But according to that version, the opinion of Rava is difficult because he said, even when it's Enes Uyla Bairis, you cannot be Saimach. But our Mishnah makes it sound like you only cannot be Saimach because he has a bar. But if it doesn't, then you would be allowed to. So Amalcham Rava, Rava would tell you that, no, Ha'idmar Allah, as we mentioned this before, but we said regarding this halacha, the Mishnah, that Amar Abaye, that Abaye says, V'item and some say that it was Rabbi Huda, that we said, why does the Mishnah say, Pasach Babar Umasayim Bekaisel? So it was answered, what does it mean when it says Bekaisel? It means Mekaisel Bayushaninu, that you have to distance yourself three tefachim when you're digging your pit, not from his pit, but from the wall of his pit. Now, what we learn from that is that even the first person had to distance his own pit, the area of what's called the wall of his pit, which, as we explained before, how much is the wall of the pit? Is three tefachim. That means to say that, to the contrary, this actually proving the opinion of Rava, that even the first person, when he digs his pit, has to distance three tefachim. So you cannot be semichim when you're the first one. Now, actually, so the Gemara says, Ikka da'armi, there are those that say, and ask the question in the reverse. The Mishnah said, Lo yachbar adam bar samach bar shalcha veiroi, that you're not allowed to dig a pit near your friend's pit. Now, v'itma Allah, we had said regarding this halacha that Amabai v'itim in some Rabbi Yehuda, that mikaisel bayre shaninu, that's why the Mishnah changed the terminology and says, unless if you're hirchik mikaislai, which we said, what does it mean from his wall? We're talking about pit. It means from the wall of his pit. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam l'hach leshnun da'amrit, so this is very good according to the version that you said, that besada hasui labayris debyakol in the samech, that everyone agrees, if it's a field that's made for pits, even though there's no pit there yet, that everyone would agree that you're not allowed to make it towards the edge, because he's ultimately going to make his pit. So, says the Gemara, according to that version, masnit and besada hasui labayris, so our Mishnah that's saying that even the first guy who makes his pit, which we're inferring from the word of that mikaisel bayris al-chaveri, that he himself, the first guy, had to have, quote, this wall, which there's no literal wall, it just means earth the area of three tefachim. So it makes sense that, yeah, because the Mishnah is talking about a case of a sod that's made for Bayrus. So even the first guy, when he made his pit, had to distance three tefachim. But elalahach lishn the Amid, but according to the version that you said, that besada hasui labaris pligi, that actually their whole machligis was by a field that's made for pits. Because if it's not made for pits, then we said everyone agrees you could be saimach. But their whole machligis is only by a field that's made for pits. So ask the Gemara. Bishlem l'rava nichas. So according to Rav, it makes sense where he holds that by besada hasui labaris, that you cannot be saimach. So that's the halacha of the Mishnah, where it's saying that you see even the first guy, as we just said in the previous version's question, that for Rav he was answering that you see even the first guy had to have, quote, his kaisel, which is three tefachim away from the boundary. But el abaye kasha. But according to Abaye, it's difficult because he himself, as we said, it was Om Abaye and some sort of Yehuda, that was interpreting when the Mishnah says that you have to distance from the first guy's kaisel, we said it means the wall of his pit. Now, obviously, the reason why it's mentioning the wall is only to come in to teach us that because he has to have, quote, this wall to distance himself, even the first guy, from the boundaries, obviously he himself has to distance three tefachim. But why? According to this version, even when it's a sudah, it's through labiris, even if the other guy is going to ultimately make a pit, but if there's no pit right now, Abaye says you can make it all the way at the edge, but we see clearly from the halacha of the Mishnah that even the first guy had to have, quote, a kaisel, which means that he himself had to distance three tefachim. So Amalek Abaye, Abaye would tell you the masnitin is shabo lach b'vas achas. And this is what we alluded to this halacha earlier, that you're right. If a guy is digging the first one, even if it's a way, it's fields that usually dug pits, and the other guy's going to ultimately dig, Abaye holds, you could still make all the way at the, edge, at the boundary. So why in the halacha of a Mishnah are we saying that when the second guy is coming to dig, does he have to distance from the kaisel b'yrishol chaveroi, which is, means to say that the first guy himself had an area of three tefachim, which from his boundary to his pit, was because they actually were coming to dig at the same time. When you dig at the same time, then although maybe one guy's going to quickly do it before the other guy, but since he knows he's starting construction just the same time as you're starting, then even if you're the first guy actually digging, then you have to distance three tefachim. Both of them have to have that, and that's why, even according to Abaye, it would be mikaisel b'yrishol chaveroi, that each one had to have a distance of three tefachim from the boundaries. So the Gemara says, Tashima. Come in here, let's try to bring a raya to Rava, meaning a difficulty on Abaye, from the following brisa. The brisa says, Sela habob yadayim, regarding bedrock, meaning soft ground, which crumbles by itself, which you could even come with your hand, you could dig with your hands. So if you're coming to make a pit over there, says the brisa, Zechei v'bari mikan, so this guy could dig his pit on one side, V'zechei v'bari mikan, this neighbor could dig his pit on the other side, but you need zem marchik shleisha tefachim b'sad b'sid. So, but he has to distance it three tefachim from the boundaries and plaster it with lime. B'zem marchik shleisha tefachim b'sad b'sid. This guy has to distance his pit from the boundaries three tefachim and plaster it with lime. So you see that even the first guy who's making his pit has to distance it three tefachim, which is not like Abaye, who said that even that the first guy could have it right at the edge of the boundary. So says the Gemara, no, babi yadayim shani. When it's ground which is very soft and crumbly, that's different, because that's much weaker soil. There, even the first guy is going to create so much damage that he has to distance three tefachim. But by regular ground, then you wouldn't. You would be able to do it all the way at the edge. So the Gemara actually asks, Udekarilo, my karilo. So the one who asked the question, what was he asking? It's pretty obvious that the Brisa is talking about a specific case of Sela b'yadayim, that that's very detrimental and weak ground, that you have to distance three tefachim. How would that disprove Abaye, who's talking about regular ground? So the Gemara says, no, babi yadayim istrichale. In other words, the one who is asking the question could say, no, the truth is that the halacha of distancing three tefachim, even if you're the first one, not like Abaye, would be even if it's loy babi yadayim, even if it's somewhat regular ground, not soft, crumbly ground. Now, so then you're going to tell me, but then why did the Brisa talk about specifically earth that's babi yadayim? That was actually coming to tell us a chiddush in the other direction. I would have thought to say, keeping the babi yadayim, since this earth can just be picked up with your hands, that you need even more distance for when you're making a pit, even if you're making the first pit, more than three tefachim. That's what the Brisa is teaching, that even though it's babi yadayim, you don't have to distance the pit that you're making more than three tefachim. But it's not the other way around. Could be even that you would require at least three tefachim, would be even by regular ground too. Therefore, that's why the one who was asking the question asked it. And that's what the Gemara is asking. No, that no, you could say that's not difficult to buy, and you could say that no, it's only by babi yadayim, but regular ground, if you're the first one to make it, you would be allowed to be saimich all the way to the edge of the boundary, and you wouldn't have to distance it by an area of three tefachim.